If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
From 2400 Sports, Odyssey, and Major League Baseball, this is the PBP Voices of Baseball.
We bring you the people who bring you the game.
Game on. It is time for the baseball season, and that means it's time for another season of the PBP, Voices of Baseball podcast. I'm your guy, Matt Spiegel. I love getting a chance to talk to all the great broadcasters around MLB and more. Looking forward to something a little different this year. We're going to go to two episodes a week. On Tuesdays, what we'll be calling the complete game episode, and our first one begins in just a couple of minutes with Joe Davis, will be more of a traditional interview kind of podcast with me a little bit up top like I am right now and a little bit at the bottom. But on Thursdays, we'll be calling it the spot starter episode, shorter with a couple of different elements we think you're really going to enjoy. The biggest one is the PBP Top 5. I'll tell you more about that at the end of this show, but basically, it's going to be the best calls from MLB during the course of the week. Can't wait to do that in partnership with Major League Baseball and, of course, Odyssey. But let's get rolling and get right to it as we welcome you back to the PBP or welcome you for the first time. Joe Davis is the voice of baseball for Fox, having done three full seasons, three World Series now, including Dodgers-Yankees last year, which was just unbelievable. We talk about that. But we began with his experience as the Dodgers broadcaster for the Tokyo Series there in Japan, Dodgers and Cubs, and what it must have been like for Joe Davis to get a chance to watch Shohei Ohtani's effect on sports culture in Japan.
Yeah, and not even just sports, Matt, but like walking around Tokyo, it's just period. He's everywhere. In every kind of ad you can possibly think of, whether it's a tea bottle or it's Hugo Boss or it's a credit card or it's a bank, he's in every window in Tokyo. So, you know, we see how magnificent he is as a player and how much we're all into it, and why wouldn't you be? But over there, he is at the very top of the list. No matter whether you're talking about sports or entertainment, or he just is the guy in Japan, period.
So when you're traveling with the team and when he's traveling with the team, is there like special dispensations that have to be taken care of, like, and special accommodations, because I'm so used to thinking about those travel times as like opportunities for bonding. And I don't know how realistic that is for Shohei and his teammates.
They did a good job of it, and the Dodgers have a great security team. It's definitely a bigger security team than a year and a half ago before they had Ohtani, but they do a really good job of making sure that protected isn't the word, but that he's taken care of when it comes to those things you're talking about. They still were able to do some stuff together as teammates, and the team hotel, they did a nice job of keeping separate from everything. He hosted a dinner for the team while he was there on one of the off nights, where they brought in a 5,000-pound fish and literally had sushi chefs in there, whatever you call them, with machetes, and they had music playing and these guys carving up sushi for the team on this giant table in the hotel. So they still had some time to put together events like that, some time and some privacy.
To see baseball culture over there, that a lot of us envy, just the opportunity to be immersed in that version of baseball culture. What stood out to you in that sense?
Yeah, baseball culture and just the culture period. And that's not to pivot from your question. I think that it's almost like the same answer. It's just this, there's a regal feel to everything over there, to the way that they treat people, to the way that they view baseball. It's a serious approach. It's a respectful approach. There's just a deep care in everything that they do, whether that's watch the baseball game where it's dead silence as the pitch comes home, the respect and the seriousness of the next pitch. My wife was saying is the easiest time she's ever had in the concessions line, taking my kids back to get a hot dog, because nobody's leaving their seats during the game. Is that they're looking at you saying these ungrateful Americans leaving their seats during the game. But everything from the baseball game experience like that to, an Uber driver or a busboy at a restaurant, there's this level of respect and business-like perfection that comes from any person that you meet over there, that I think if you look not even that closely, I think when you hear that, it's probably evident when you're just watching a baseball game too. It's really fascinating to see the culture, to have been in the culture in baseball and just period.
Anything change for you doing play-by-play up in the booth when the sounds and the atmosphere are different?
Yeah, I don't know how it ended up changing my call, but I definitely thought about it. Like, I felt like I should be doing a golf call, like third shot on the seventh. It's just dead silent. I didn't love that. The environment it's good in that it's respectful and you can tell they care, but the environment's not good when you compare it to a raucous Major League Baseball postseason environment. Just totally different.
Yeah, and it's also dissimilar to, like, I saw baseball in the Dominican, or if anyone has seen baseball in Puerto Rico, it's like it's a different atmosphere that way. It's
for sure.
It's interesting. Did you think Ohtani's home run was a home run when it
did
happened?
You hear the call?
I think we've got the call. Robbie, do we have the call?
Oh, but, man, are you going to do that to me?
Well, just so we can talk about it together.
Yeah.
Absolute take, right center field. It is off the wall. To second goes Ohtani. To home goes Ohtani. It was a home run.
Why are we doing that? Robbie, why are we doing that to the great Joe Davis? It's real time. What are you going to do?
I obviously try to get those right, not misjudge them. I really, though, sometimes I'll misjudge them and it's like, what were you doing? You got caught up in it. I still, like, something weird happened to that ball, because you saw the video and you can hear the sound. There is nothing to misinterpret there. Like, you squared it up. It sounded like a shotgun. Off of the bat, it had this majestic flight, and then it just died. Thank God at least it was a home run.
Yeah, no, I think there's some Jeffrey Meyer action there that was going on. As Jeffrey will live in eternity forever with that one. I was so glad you guys were there, you know. Marquee TV, the Cubs TV was there, and you guys were there. I mean you could feel, how does that value of being present transcend the broadcast at a time like this when you get the opportunity to be there, you know?
Yeah, we all went through it for you know, however many games in 2020 and coming out of that where you're doing everything remotely, and it's just not the same. And especially when it's a unique environment like this, I think to really be able to tell the story of not just what it's like in the stadium, but a big part of the story is what it's like around the stadium and in the country, to be able to translate that, you have to be there. So, it's one of the things to come out of COVID that's great is the technology and ability to do this remotely, but you lose a lot in doing that.
Yeah, you do. And it's understandable why some companies have kept some of those things, but it was really great that you were there, and it was fun to pivot over and listen. So back to the personal, what was it like as a Michigan kid? Like, do you have any moments of being like, oh my God, here I am, or have those kind of moments gone away at this point?
No, I tried. I hope they never do, man. I really am mindful about not getting to that point where everything's so I took my wife and my two oldest kids, my 8-year-old daughter and my 6-year-old son. We left the 3-year-old back with a mother-in-law. I joked with people, we left him with a bottle of milk and a truck, it'll be fine. We took the two big kids, and it was like once a day we would say to ourselves, like, can you believe we're here? Can you believe we're in Tokyo with Otani's Dodgers? Like, I'm just a kid from Potterville, Michigan. I didn't leave Michigan until I was 15 years old, and that was to take a family vacation to Michigan City, Indiana. And, you know, like, that was a big deal. So there were moments every day where it was pinch yourself stuff like that being there.
That's awesome. There's good surfing in Michigan City, Indiana, right by the power plant. For some reason, the weather makes the way
water. Yeah, you got to be a perfect surfer.
It's exactly right.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
So your World Series last year, I mean, that is incredible that we had finally Dodgers-Yankees, mm-hmm. as we've been dancing around seemingly for years, and we finally got it, and the stars were the stars, which made it so special to see the greatest players rise up in those moments. Was there a moment when the bigness of that kind of hit you, or you found yourself thinking about it at all? Because it's sort of the World Series a lot of baseball has been waiting for a couple of decades, to be honest.
Yeah, and definitely us at Fox, you know, for obvious reasons, going to rate so well. And yeah, we had fantasized about that forever. And as you started to see the teams kind of on a collision course, our eyes got wider and wider, and then it happens. And in the week leading up to it, or the few days between the championship series and the World Series, you obviously pour into the prep. And I was doing my best to do that, but also say, hey, enjoy this, because it doesn't get any better than this. You know, the matchup going in, and then game one being how it is with Freddie Freeman doing what he did. And I still have not wrapped my mind around where that moment stands in the all-time moments of baseball. But I understand that it's up there, but I just can't quite compute that. And then it was, you know, ending for all the great moments there were and how memorable game five was for the worst reasons for the Yankees. It's a bummer that it ended so quickly. I think that that matchup deserves seven games and a few more twists and turns. But as far as a matchup going in, yeah, a dream. And then so many of those moments, even though it was five games, so many of those moments that I think that will live on forever whenever you're talking about the World Series. And that's what you want, right? It's come out of a Fall Classic like that, feeling like you added to the long legacy of it.
It's a pretty ridiculously indelible moment, that Freddie Freeman grand slam like you're talking about. I don't know that I can wrap my head around it. I think that's going to be a fun one for people to try to contextualize.
Cortez delivers. Freeman hits the ball to right field. She is gone! Gibby, meet Freddie! Game one of the World Series!
Mm-hmm. How early in that game, because you absolutely nailed the call, and it's just a wonderful moment. It's going to live forever. And it felt so personal, Joe. It felt so connective because it's you, you know, because it's you and because it's Dodgers. How early in that game did the specter of Gibson even enter your mind? I wonder how much of that was rolling around your head.
Honestly, it was all month, because Freddie Freeman had been injured all month. And you're thinking about, of course, the last time the Dodgers won a full season World Series, 1988. What's the moment from that? It's Kirk Gibson limping around the bases with the walk-off home run in game one of the World Series. So you've kind of been thinking, hey, when is Freddie Freeman going to have his Kirk Gibson moment? Not ever fathoming that it might be game one of the World Series, just like it was for Kirk Gibson 36 years before that. So thinking about it as the month goes on, and then not necessarily throughout that game thinking, oh, hey, okay, and now it's game one. So all this stuff we've been thinking about, could it really be all these parallels leading to this, Freddie Freeman and Kirk? It wasn't until, I mean, he's what, six, seven batters away at the start of that inning.
Yeah.
So you're not thinking, even at the start of the 10th inning, that he's probably going to come up. And then they got to walk Mookie Betts intentionally just to get to him. What we were all looking at was, oh my gosh, Ohtani might come up with a chance to win this game. And Ohtani came up with a chance to win the game and flied out to left field, and Alex Verdugo toppled over the sidewall into the seats. So that's the moment that never happened. The moment that was going to happen that never happened. And then in a flash, Freddie's up there, because they go from retiring Ohtani and Verdugo crashing into the stands to walking Mookie Betts to here's Freddie Freeman to first pitch, game's over. So it wasn't like you could lean towards it within the game or even in the inning. I think just thankfully I have the context of being in that stadium every day for the last decade. And so that context is always on your mind. And then having had the Dodgers' entire run that October, Fox had the National League, put me in that mind frame to make that connection. And then the flight of the ball, if I hadn't come up with the connection yet, the flight of the ball was so eerily similar to the clip that we've all seen a million times.
Wow.
That all came together for that to come into my mind.
It's an amazing moment, because we all felt the dots get connected in real time. And you've got to be thinking on all those levels. A lot of us just kind of got there in the moment, and you kind of you tapped in the putt for a lot of us, you know, and helped us complete the thought. What is I have to ask you a couple of things about the fallout from that. How soon did you talk to Kirk, if you did talk to Kirk, who just announced, by the way, he's stepping away from Tigers broadcasts with our friend Jason Benetti. But I'm wondering if you did end up talking to Kirk not long after that.
I didn't talk to him. I talked to one of the Dodgers writers who had talked to him, who passed on to me that Kirk had listened and loved the call. And that meant a ton. So didn't talk to him right away. He's actually going to be at opening day this year. So I'll get to catch up with him in a couple days here.
So, yeah, you guys might connect about that.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. And then did MLB trademark it? I know they were going to.
Like right after, somebody sent me a link the next morning. MLB trademarks giving me Joe Davis's call, giving me Freddie. And I was like, huh, like I feel like I should be mad, but I also, if they did it, I'm sure I have no argument against it. And why would I argue it, I guess? But like, oh, okay, that happened fast.
But yeah, well, there's merchandise out there, how does this work? Does a broadcaster get a piece? Are there, have you heard anything from anybody at this point?
No, but like, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a battle that I would care to fight.
You know? No, I mean, it's MLB. And you know what? The danger in this is you don't want young broadcasters thinking in terms of trademarks, right? We don't want them thinking in 3 to 5 word snippets.
Right.
Like we gotta get these in. So, but it also makes me wonder, have you seen the merch at all? Do you have a Gibby Meet Freddy t-shirt?
I do. A friend got me one. I signed a couple for folks going into the holidays, and I have seen those. I don't know how that works though. Like if it's trademarked by MLB, were these grandfathered in like the 4 hours between the end of that game and the trademark becoming official? I don't know.
And I have you worn one? Have you gone to the supermarket? Supermarket wearing a Gibby Meet Freddy t-shirt?
I haven't, but I can't say I'm like above that. I've got a couple. They did, you know, earlier in my career, Hyunjin Ryu hit a home run, and we've been talking about it for years, you know, tongue in cheek, like could Hyunjin Ryu homer? And I said it's happened. I have a shirt that says it's happened. So I'm not, and I've worn that. Yeah, I've worked out on that. So I'm not above it.
You shouldn't be. Right now, I'm picturing Al Michaels in a Do You Believe in Miracles t-shirt walking around the supermarket. These things might be happening. It was such a wonderful series, Joe. And I've been thinking, you know, you get the chance as the Dodgers guy to also be the national guy and call the Dodgers title. And I'm trying to think how many people have had that chance as the local and national guy to call their local team's title. I don't know how often it's even happened. Are you aware of anybody else in that particular club, to your knowledge?
No, I guess I hadn't thought about that. Definitely unique. It's also kind of careful what you wish for, because we had, through the years of doing the postseason, thought, you know, that would be great for family life to be home through October and be able to cover the Dodgers and easier. And it ain't easier. It's complicated. You know, it's a whole nother layer of things to think about, where not just the, hey, you got to make sure you play it down the middle. Like I do Dodger games during the regular season. That part's not hard, but trying to change the lens that you know the Dodgers through, because I'm delivering them on an everyday basis to people who, you know, like they follow the team like it's their job. And it's a much different delivery of the information, a much different, like mastering the Dodgers for the regular season is a much different thing than mastering the Dodgers for the postseason. So not only do you have to do the work to master them for the postseason, I got to do that for the Yankees too. We got to do the Mets, Padres, right? But I have to also, and this is the harder step, almost like forget everything I know, because you got to totally not forget it, but it's totally different delivery and framing of the information. So that part, like I said, careful what you wish for is just a whole nother level of thinking and a whole nother layer of probably overthinking it. Still, like I wouldn't trade it. It was a special thing to be able to cover a championship run for the team that I cover.
That's fascinating because, the lens with which you're looking at it and then delivering it, you're not carrying on a conversation you've been having all year about these guys. It's a different thing. I hadn't thought about it from your approach. It's fascinating though that, like, in terms of staying down the middle, that's, you're feeling a level of comfort with that. And it really comes across, like, even on the World Series, on the title call, it sounded like you know, but there was such a long pause. I think it was 54 seconds, Joe, of 56 seconds as the Dodgers celebrated on the field.
The Dodgers, a strike away from a championship, from a proper celebration. Start the party, Los Angeles! Your Dodgers have won the World Series!
And I wondered what your thoughts were, and then, like, you're so good and strong about keeping those plates spinning and keeping those lenses in the right place. You do get a moment perhaps in that 50 seconds where you can think about all of it. What was going through your mind, if you remember?
I don't know if as much in those 56 seconds right there, Matt, as just in the days after the World Series, like, whew, that was a lot, you know, Dodgers, Yankees, New York, Los Angeles, the added layer of overthinking, making sure that I was positioning and framing the information right. Like you said, comfortable and confident that I was playing it down the middle, but, you know, I think it's human nature to worry about that, to make sure that, not to worry about my ability to do that, but human nature to know people are going to be pissed at me, and you can say, like, that doesn't matter at all, but yeah, you want people to like you. So that, you know, that part's exhausting. So in the days after, I remember feeling like very proud of the work we did, but also like, boy, I could sleep for a few days here coming off of just all the emotions that went into doing the postseason this year.
Yeah, well, it came off really, really strong and controlled and composed, like everything that you get a chance to do. I wondered, Joe, what you think headed here into will this be your fourth year as the Fox number one? So that means three World Series now now under your belt. As a young broadcaster, you've really been able to share, you know, some of the knowledge that you've gained along the way. Are you finding anything going into year four that feels a little more comfortable or feels like a new challenge you want to focus on in terms of this coming year with Fox?
Yeah, I'm always trying to find, as you kind of touched on, their ways to get better. And I think that's one of the really cool things about this job is that it's also a maddening thing is that there is no scoreboard and there is no defined win, loss. Like, you have to come up with a way to judge yourself, and it's very subjective and it's gray. So I'm always looking for ways to push it and to continue to get better. I continue to study storytelling. You know, there aren't books written about storytelling for play-by-play broadcasters, but just the art of storytelling. And then it's a whole nother discussion. How do you translate that to a game that has a pitch clock? It's a different deal than it used to be. Yeah. So studying that, and you know, I always go back and listen to myself and find little things that I can improve on. And just, I think too, like, my dream had always been to do the World Series, and I'm so lucky to get it at an early age. Then what? Not like what gig is next, but now that I've achieved that kind of tangible external goal, now what am I doing? I've got it. I'm going to do it the best I can and honor the responsibility by being as good as I possibly can, never taking it for granted. But like, when you boil it down, really, what is it? And trying to tap into whatever that bigger meaning is, whatever that bigger purpose in that chair is, not just on the World Series, but anytime I broadcast, you know, my chance to bring people joy. And, you know, people turn on the TV to have a distraction. They got their own worries that they're going through at work and in their personal life. So they turn on the game. They want to have some fun. They want to smile. And I have a great responsibility and chance to provide a little bit of a smile and provide a laugh and provide a distraction from whatever's going on in people's life. So really tapping into that's always kind of been there, but really trying to tap into that and allow that to fuel what I do each day.
Maybe you should write that book on storytelling in play-by-play that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that would sell to like 48 people. But you'd be one of them, Matt.
I'd be right there with you. But really, Joe, I mean, you're like, your love for Vin and the fact that you had that relationship and you are helping the storytelling stay alive while adjusting to the modern game. I mean, there's very few people with an opportunity to move the medium forward the way that you are. So I hope you share it in whatever form you can.
Thank you. That means a lot. And yeah, I'll share it any way I can. I just don't know if any book publishers are going to sign up for that one.
All right. Well, we can put out a pamphlet together. We can co-publish on that.
Get the marketing materials together.
Thanks, Joe Davis. You're the best.
All right, man. Always good to talk to you.
Go ahead, Joe Davis. Write that book. I'm sure you've got all the time in the world. The Dodgers and Fox, Joe Davis, for our first complete game episode of the PBP for 2025. Next week, Dave Sims, at age 71, the brand new voice of the New York Yankees. Just one of my favorite people in the broadcast business. You're going to love that conversation. And then starting next Thursday will be our spot starter episodes. You'll get them every Thursday in your feed. And among the items in those episodes will be the top five highlights that we have heard from the week so far of Major League Baseball. Very excited about this. Get to work with MLB on it. Some will be TV calls, some will be radio calls, and we'll be taking your suggestions all week long. If you want to get in touch with the show, if you want to email us, you want to send us your favorite highlights during the course of the week, you can always do it, and we will consider it to put it in the top five, and then the top five is going to be really fun every Thursday. You can email us here, pbptop5@gmail.com. Spell five out, pbptop5@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us as well. Find us on social media. And man, I cannot wait to interact with you guys and gals all year long on baseball and highlights and have some fun with it. Cannot wait. Thanks so much for listening. My producer is Robbie Triano. My producer emeritus is Ryan Porth. We call him that so we can still ask him to do stuff, but Robbie's going to do most of everything. My collaborator is James Vickery. Thank you to them. Thank you to Kurt Morrison for supplying the music that you hear right here. Kurt is my guy from Tributosaurus. This is an Odyssey podcast, and you know that Odyssey and MLB are working together with me, Matt Spiegel, to bring you the PBP Voices of Baseball. Listen on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast. Please rate, like, and subscribe as well. The PBP Voices of Baseball. We bring you the people that bring you the game.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
I'm Jordan. Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.